Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hello, Christina LaRusso.
So guess what?
I have no idea.
Today, we are going to be sharing with our Gen Extemporaneous listeners a free sample of our Patreon content.
What?
Yes, it's because we just ran out of time and I'm completely run over by a reindeer.
Christina was run over by a reindeer this Christmas season.
We just got to the point where we said we have been going so hard for so long on all of our podcasting that Christina needs a break.
She does need a break.
So we are going to take this week off. We're providing you with a Patreon episode about the gig economy. And we will be back before the end of the year with a brand new episode, which is going to be a roundup of 2022.
So this episode, which is all about catching and eating frogs.
No.
That's what gigging is.
No, it's the gig economy and the ethics of tipping.
Just tip. I mean, that's the ethics.
So we should say thank you all very much for coming and listening to us each week. We really appreciate it.
Just tip us.
You should feel ethically really okay with supporting our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, just slip us an envelope like we were your doorman or something.
That's right. And we wish you a very happy holiday, whichever holiday you celebrate. And if you do not celebrate that, right on.
Have a good weekend, I guess.
Yeah, just enjoy the time off.
Yeah. Happy solstice.
All right. Here's Gen Extemporaneous After Dark.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Gen Extemporaneous After Dark. This is a podcast where we provide our Patreon members with bonus content.
That's right, Mark.
Which is pretty exciting, I think. And if you are not already feeling the funky chill vibe from that amazing theme song, there may be no hope for you. Today, we're going to be discussing the gig economy and the morality of tipping. And how that shit works all together. I'm excited to have with me today, Christina LaRusso.
Yay! I'm very excited to be here too, Mark. And I really appreciate the fact that you take the pressure off of me for having to write an intro.
That's a lot of pressure to speak for that 15 seconds, I can tell you.
Yeah. Okay, it is to me.
Well, then I've saved you.
It is. All right.
I'm your white knight of podcasting.
Yes. Yeah. So we are going to put this discussion behind a paywall.
Yeah. Isn't that an interesting bit of irony? Is it okay to pay gig economy people? Well, it better be. You're never going to find out.
All right. So what we want to talk about today, as you mentioned in the introduction, is gig economy, but in particular, the tipping aspect of it.
Right.
There are now, as social media has obviously taken off, people everywhere are jumping on various platforms of social media. YouTube, heavily into YouTube.
Yeah, because they're one of the only ones that actually pays.
They pay well.
Well, they don't pay well, but they pay better than the other things.
And they're also, they respond to their creators, right? They have responded to their creators. And
okay.
They've been fairer than, say, TikTok, which is absolutely ludicrous. And 100%, I'm boycotting them.
I'm not doing TikTok. I keep
TikTok
sending
anymore.
You all these TikTok videos and they go unviewed. What is going on? You're like, oh, yeah, I'm boycotting TikTok. Well, I was not informed.
I know. I've informed you multiple times, as a matter of fact. But anyway, so I'm boycotting them because they take up to 70% of the money that is spent towards gifts that you give, in-app gifts that you gift to creators during live events or whatever. And you can actually tip creators. Big creators have a tip button function on the views. Like if you're viewing one of the TikToks, you can tip that directly into the creator's account.
Don't they take 70% of that?
Any gifts, in-app gifts that you provide to a creator.
Yeah.
They take up to, it depends on what country you're in, but up to 75%. I mean, it's between 50% and 75%
outrageous.
So if I, as a consumer, spend $300 on in-app gifts and I gift you that $300, you're getting $150 or less.
Right. And all they're providing is a platform. There's not a lot of, I mean, this is 100%, this is like pure profit for them, is to gouge those creators for that money. Because they're not spending, you know, tons of money on infrastructure or research and development particularly. They just have, hey, here's an app that kind of works. Give us 3/4 of your money.
That's right. And it's absurd that that's happening. So TikTok is I'm not doing it. And you know how much I loved it.
Yeah. Now, did you, you actually made hundreds of thousands of dollars on your TikTok though,
well,
right?
I did, but obviously, obviously a lot less than I should have because my many, many thousands of followers.
Yes, just dozens.
Like my tens of followers on TikTok.
Yes.
Instagram, you know, I mean, I think that, there are other things that can happen. You can do the TikTok creator fund if you're in certain countries. So you can draw from that as well. You can get in-app gifts, for instance. But then there's also the possibility on TikTok, as it is on Instagram, it's very well developed. There's a way to monetize your platform with brands.
Right.
So brands can come to you and say, well, we'll pay you. And actually, that's probably much more lucrative than...
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, TikTok or Instagram doesn't take 75% of it.
Right.
But it is apparently a good platform for like brand influencers and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Because there's a wider reach than I guess there is some other...
You know, there are ways to monetize Facebook as well. There are ways to... And certainly to YouTube, because you can run ads on YouTube. Then bring it out to podcasts.
Yes.
Okay, so podcasts are, we run our, Gen X Temporaneous is run ad-free. We make no money on Gen X Temporaneous except for the few people who
support
us through through that podcast. Okay. That is not something that we asked for with that podcast. We just wanted to do the podcast. Well, now we've had requests to do additional content.
Right.
We thought, okay, and we've been talking about this now for like a year and a half to get
yes. What's taken so long? What the hell are you doing?
Well, you know, I am a little busy.
Boo-hoo.
With all of the, were you going to say bullshit?
No.
Calm down, Mark.
Bullshit.
Tighten up, Mark. Okay, but so we had some people ask for additional content and we thought to ourselves, okay, well, we can do a Patreon. Now, you know, we're doing like $5 a month as the subscription fee, but
it's
that's really nominal. It's nominal and Patreon will take a portion of that. Fair enough. They're providing us with a platform.
Are they taking $4.50?
No, they are not. So then it's pennies, like pennies. They take pennies of what we do. But, you know, hopefully for them over time, it will add up. Others do this too, YouTubers. And in one of the episodes that we just talked, where we talked about a social contract between creators and their fans, but we talked about Joel and Leah, who were a podcast. They're not a couple. They're friends who do this YouTube channel. And they signed up for Patreon, which they still have now. They monetize their YouTube channel. They do branded YouTube videos, right?
Yeah.
They do branded vlogs. They are very often, I believe that they're, you know, they're the kind of influencers now. They're at the level where if they go to stay at a hotel,
do you know who I am?
It could
do you know how many followers I have?
It could be a comp situation, but they do also have a Patreon. So they, you know, put out extra content for their Patreon followers. Podcasts do the same, and we're doing that as well.
Like whose Patreon have you in the past or are you now?
I used to be a member of, let's see, what was it? True Crime Obsessed.
Okay.
I had a Patreon. I signed up for their Patreon, but then they got in bed, figuratively speaking, with Chrissy Teigen, who you
canceled.
I'm happy to do that because the creators are providing me with content that entertains me, and I'm okay with that.
Well, I mean, that's the transaction, right?
Correct.
They're giving me stuff I enjoy. You're not required in many cases to pay them for it.
Right.
But it seems reasonable too, at least in that case, right?
In that case, because they are putting a lot more effort into it. So it's not easy to do a vlog. It is not, I mean.
Are you sure?
No, I'm positive.
I'm doing one right now while we're podcasting.
No, but it's, I mean, okay, a quality vlog.
Yeah, of course.
Vlog, it's not easy to do. You can record yourself doing anything and put it on YouTube and somebody's probably going to watch it. But in order to build a consistent following, you have to try and at least put some effort into the product that you're putting out.
So let's talk a little bit about how the sausage is made here.
Yeah.
Because everybody's, you know, everybody, it's very common to hear, like, why are they getting paid money just to shoot a video?
Right.
Right. Why are they getting paid money just to go and order a drink at a restaurant or something and take a picture of it? Well, what people generally don't know is there's a bit more that goes into it than that, right? Christina, how much time does it take for you to produce one episode of our weekly podcast?
Okay, so it depends on the level of research. So we call it extemporaneous. In fact, right. Initially it was called just extemporaneous.
Right.
Then we added the gen.
Yeah.
But the only one who's really speaking super extemporaneously to most of the subjects is Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I am literally doing no preparation for most shows unless I have to have watched like a documentary because we're talking about it and I sound dumb if I don't. But Christina does quite a lot of work, especially,
correct,
like you said, depending on the episode. Sometimes we'll do an episode where it's like, here's just something we're going to talk about. We both know enough about it that we can have an intelligent conversation more or less about that topic. But most of these topics that you come up with are more in depth than that, right? Somebody has to know what's going on to provide structure to the podcast.
Correct. I do quite a bit of research, and depending on the topic. Now, some things I know a lot about already, so I don't have to do.
Like, say, the Divine Comedy.
Like the Divine Comedy. I knew enough that already that I had to do just a little bit of research. But something like, and as much as I know about true crime, in order to put together these true crime episodes that we've been doing, I've had to do a lot of research.
So let's get some numbers.
Hours of time that I spend doing research each week, I probably spend 8 hours a week doing research.
I think that's about right.
And then we do the recording, which...
Now, I'm here for that part, right?
Which Mark,
like, that's where I'm actually putting in, like, serious work.
Correct. So Mark put...
This can take up an hour or two of my week.
Sometimes we'll do like 2 hours worth of recording for one episode because because
you love cutting my shit.
Because we have to edit. so that's 2 hours that Mark spends on it. Maybe he's spent an hour ahead of time looking at a documentary or a couple of hours
probably
ahead of time.
Probably not.
But probably not. And then it comes back to me and I do all of the editing. And the editing can take, depending on whether I'm doing clips,
right,
or whatever else, it can take up to another 8 hours.
That's a part-time job.
Usually six. So each week I'm doing, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 hours a week.
I mean, it's a part-time job.
Yeah.
It really is. On top of, now you have an actual job, is that correct?
I do have an actual job.
Something pays the bills for you.
Yes, I do. I do have an actual job that I work my normal work hours.
Right.
So that's 16 to 18 hours a week that I put in, right, on the podcast.
You forgot all the time I spent promoting us on social media.
Oh, that's true.
That's another 20 minutes a week.
So we do put some effort into it.
Yes, some.
And that's fine. We chose to do that. But yes. I could also just say, well, to heck with it. I recorded 2 hours. We're going to just put that up online and put it up. And what you would end up hearing is a lot of ums and pauses and Mo barking and all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's just audio.
Yeah.
Now add into it video. And if you you have to plan out what the idea is going to be. If you're doing a video, if you're a vlogger, you plan the idea. You have to, not totally scripted, but there has to be some kind of structure that they're following.
Right.
The good ones are following a structure.
Yeah.
The best ones are following a structure, and you
like
don't. And they look like they don't.
Yeah.
Then there's editing. If you don't edit, it's not going to be as good.
Right.
In my opinion,
you have to put in like all the text and chop the scenes up in an interesting way, put music, whatever you're doing, right?
Right.
Plus, then you might get to the end and go, oh, the lighting sucked on that one. Now we have to do it again.
Right. That's the behind the scenes thing. So I have no issue when you think about all of the effort that goes into people doing that kind of work, creators.
Right.
I have no issue with them monetizing. I have no issue with them getting having Patreons,
ads
or any of that. So that's really kind of what we want to zero in on.
Of course, this is kind of new to people in some sense, right? These independent creators out there,
right,
getting paid to do their thing, right? Of course, the previous paradigm is commercials, right?
Mm-hmm.
On network broadcasts,
mm-hmm,
radio, TV, whatever. And that basically is imposing on you these commercials that you have to watch in order to watch this broadcast. That's how you're paying for your entertainment. You're watching these commercials. So this is a change now. And I think as we get into this conversation, I'm going to argue maybe that it's a more democratic way of selecting your media. I mean, certainly we have a lot more choices now in how we consume media, right? There's streaming, there's regular broadcast TV that I think like 8 people are still watching somewhere in the Midwest. There's, you know, YouTube creators, podcasts, you know, audiobooks, whatever it is. We have a lot of media choices. Mm-hmm. And your dollars are how you vote on what you want to stick around. But honestly, we're not, you know, I mean, this isn't our primary source of income, thank God. We're not as strident about our content as maybe some of these other creators who this is all they do. This is their whole ass job, is to generate money from social media entertainment.
One of the parallels that we have been drawing as we've been chatting about this kind of through the week and on and off, actually for the last couple of months, is the parallels between other types of entertainment.
Okay. Yes.
So there are, you know, we go to see bands. We've talked about this frequently.
We do. Mark just saw a band last night.
Just last night. Mark is a very generous benefactor to bands that are playing.
Right. Now, it's not like, you know, it's not like George Clooney was there and he dropped a couple of thousand in the bucket. But, you know, I always try to tip the band or whatever, because I appreciate I appreciate the entertainment that they're providing. And I know that the venue that they're playing in is probably paying them, you know, dick. So, you know, if I like a song, I go, I put money in the bucket. Just in general, as we're leaving, I'll put money in the bucket. And, you know, I'm not spending, you know, like I said, hundreds of dollars, but I do feel like that's the way I show my appreciation for their work.
For that entertainment.
Yeah, because so I do enjoy it. I love live music.
Of course. And we that is something that we really spend our entertainment dollars on.
We do.
All right. There are other things now. For instance, if you want to stick with online, really like TikTok has done this thing where you have the in-app gifting.
Right.
A lot of the creators will also do things like put an Amazon wish list attached into their link tree.
Yeah.
They will put their PayPals.
I feel like I would just get like 40 pairs of soccer shoes and nothing else for the rest of my life.
and people want to do this. They want to gift you. Some of them will get P.O. boxes.
Yeah,
and,
if you're smart.
And the P.O. boxes are there for their fans to send them gifts.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about necessarily just the big creators. There are some medium to smaller sized creators that I know have gotten gifts from people.
If you want to send me a statue of me made out of pasta.
You've received gifts.
I have received gifts. That's true. I got the autographed Jim Palmer underwear picture.
That's
which is
right.
Awesome.
We got you have another gift. I know that's coming on the way because
that
someone
is crazy
asked
talk.
Me. I know. You get all the gifts. I do all the work. He gets all the gifts, everyone.
You know, be sexier.
I guess. So TikTok is one way. OnlyFans.
Yeah.
We just did the sex positivity episode.
Right.
OnlyFans is a way for people to be gifted for their services.
I feel like, and I don't know for sure, but I feel like they get a bigger cut than TikTok. I mean, I can't imagine anybody gets a smaller cut than TikTok.
Surely, but remember when we talked about that one creator who was in the sex positivity episode.
Going to stepping on cakes and stuff?
Yes. And she was being given cash money into her PayPals too.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
I mean? There were, she says in that episode something like, I can tell you there are lots of ways for me to take your money. That's what she said.
That's right.
She came right out and said that. Okay. So those are online ways. The other way, you know, we talked about bands. I mean, people in service, Uber, all of those people driving cabs, going back to cabs. There are lots of ways, hairstylists, anybody who's in service that you end up providing a tip to.
I see tipping as just something that I'm doing to express my appreciation. I don't feel like, you know, it's a quid pro quo per se. So do you think they, I mean, look, I enjoy, what? No, I don't. I mean, if I give a band a tip, it's nice if they give me a little finger gun or something, right? Or if they learn my name and then possibly learn a song that I've requested.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I also will give it to them for nothing.
Okay, so then the other place that I want to kind of talk about this is in with exotic dancers.
Yes. I think it's a very similar structure.
Okay. So two things that I want to talk about now is how that works, because you are a person who has gone to strip club and
in fact I'm running a little late right now. So if we can hurry this up.
Hurry it up. Okay.
No, and you know that, and I have told you this, I really do not enjoy that mode of entertainment. It's just not my thing. Now, it's not that I don't like naked people. I do. I like naked people as much as the next guy. But I don't like the feeling that I get when I'm in a strip club, because it's a hustle, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. It should be a hustle. That's how you make money.
That's how gig economy works.
Exactly.
To be honest, I mean, you do have to hustle. You do. Anybody who's doing a gig economy, I don't care what you're doing in the gig economy, you are having to hustle.
And I mean, what is marketing and sales other than hustling consumers, right? I mean, yes, you want to provide them the actual goods and services that they want, but your marketing and your salesmanship is really shining that up in a particular way that you think will appeal to them.
Well, I mean, we live in a capitalist state.
We do.
Okay, so let's talk about the strip club experience and tell me about the hustle.
Okay, so in general, and I'm sure everybody is familiar with, you know, how strip clubs work, right? You go, you sit down, people take their clothes off, but you tip them. There's other ways that they get money as well. So you could just tip them, just throw money at them while they're on stage. That's one way. The more lucrative way for the performers, I believe, is, you know, private dances. They're like, do you want to dance? Now, you got to know, when they ask you that question, this is not a romantic venture, right? They're not looking to waltz with you. Mm-hmm. You go into a room, you pay for whatever the going rate is, and you get a song or however many songs you pay for. I recommend choosing Stairway to Heaven, but I bet you they don't always allow that. So, you know, they're like, do you want to dance? Now you get a much more intimate connection with that performer, mm-hmm. right? Because they're up on stage. Everybody's watching the exact same thing. She's trying to get the attention of whoever is up at the rail and whoever seems to be tipping at the moment. But that's not, you know, a very personal connection. So the lap dance, right, becomes your way to increase your personal connection with this performer.
Correct.
And I'm going to argue that that's similar to TikTok creators as well. But you've increased your things. Plus, you know, you get the nakedness closer to you, right? You can really, really examine that nakedness if you want, if that's your thing. Yeah. And then that's not all, right? Then they might say, can you buy me a drink? You're like, okay, sure. And she orders like some, you know, galactic champagne drink that's $80. And that's part of her tipping as well, right? Because obviously the champagne doesn't cost $80 a glass. I suspect it's fairly low quality, but that's, you know, the house takes a portion, and I'm sure she gets a portion of that as well. And while you're in this dance that you paid whatever, $100 for or whatever, you still might tip them there as well. In fact, they would appreciate that and probably expect that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's talk about the ones that don't venture into actual prostitution, right? They're still giving you that sense that, you know, maybe you have a shot, right? Because that's what they want. They want you to personally be attracted to them and, you know, want to please them and give them all your money.
Right.
And that's their job, is to take all the money from your wallet and put it in their wallet.
Right. And return business.
Absolutely.
So in some cases you will have customers. I've read, there's actually a really interesting article that then the movie Hustlers was based upon about these women who worked strip club.
Yeah.
And I think it was back in, you know, like sort of the strip club heyday, like late 90s.
80s, 90s,
and
or
well, but like in the early, like the late 90s and the early 2000s.
I don't know when the strip club heyday
was. Well, it was like a big
thing. I missed it.
You would hear about a lot of celebrities going to strip clubs and things
like
that.
Like making it rain.
Yeah. So there was an article about these women who worked in a kind of a syndicate. They were these exotic dancers who worked together to really hustle people. Like they drugged them.
Oh.
And ran up charges on their credit cards and all the rest. Okay. So there's that extreme, but in that article, you know, you just sort of learn that it gets more and more lucrative if you get regulars. If you get regulars that come in, yeah. And often those regulars, the boundaries get very, very blurry because they are then buying, not just giving cash to these women, they're also buying things for them. Like in the sex work episode that we did, the cake stomping lady, she was always talking about how, you know, she had special guys who really got into financial that she would be financially dominating them and just emptying their wallets.
I mean, you know, I always make fun of furries a little bit, but that's got to be even a weirder kink. He's like, take all of my money and boss me around and treat me like shit.
Right.
All right.
So there is that. And I think that then the boundaries slip and you are imagining yourself
dating. You think you're dating
them potentially, or being closer to them than you actually are.
Right.
Now, tell me, because I've talked with some men who have gone to see dancers, and they say that, you know, the trope. Well, she's really a graduate student working way through graduate school. Now, in some cases, that's accurate.
That's right.
In some cases, it's not. But often, these women are using stage names. They're not. Telling you like.
Yeah. Often, 99.9% of the time, whatever name she gives you is not the name her boyfriend calls her or girlfriend.
right.
More likely.
Right. And so there's that. Then also men have told me that, you know, that when they're getting the dances, the women are often saying, you know, like saying, oh, you're really attractive, or smell so like good.
Mostly I don't care about customers, but you are the one I do care about.
Yeah.
you just have something special.
right. Exactly.
And I think that's, you're sitting on that something special. If you could just open it up and take some of the green specials out and give them to me. Thank you.
All right. So you are keenly sensitive to that aspect of the
Absolutely.
Hustle. You don't buy into it when they say, this is hard for me to believe, knowing you, that you don't believe that think you're awesome.
I believe that they do think I'm awesome, but I also don't believe that, well, first of all, I'm not looking to have a relationship with them, you know, them necessarily, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that's not really my goal. But I feel uncomfortable. It's for the same reason I don't like buying cars. It's high pressure. It feels scammy sometimes, even though, I mean,
it's legit.
It's legit. It's just not legit for me. I mean, I just don't like it.
Correct. Okay, so now that brings up...
Which is what all men tell their girlfriends when they ask about strip clubs. Oh, yeah, I hate that. I hate those things.
That people do judge people who spend their money that way.
Absolutely.
I say go ahead and spend your money however you want to.
Well.
But I have a hard time understanding how that makes sense to spend lots and some men and women spend a lot of money on that.
Right.
And while I appreciate that for the women who are dancing, I sit and I think to myself, why are you spending that money? Right. So we do that. Like in the same way, like gambling, I kind of go, it's fun to gamble. I'll spend maybe $50, but that's it. Like I don't get it. Now other people find gambling to be just intensely pleasurable.
If two people were in front of you and one said, yeah, I spent $10,000 last year gambling. Or they said, oh, I spent $10,000 last year at strip clubs. Which one do you judge? Yes, you don't judge, but you judge, right? Which one do you...
Which one is harder for me to
empathize
with?
Which one makes your eyebrow raise higher on your forehead?
$10,000 gambling.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I would say the opposite. I would say if you are spending $10,000 in a year, and I'm sure that's fairly low for some people.
Right.
If you're spending $10,000 a year on strippers, which, you know, good for the dancers, right? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, I understand gambling because at least you have a chance to win money. And I know the entertainment value of naked people is also very high, but there's, you know, active entertainment going on, right? You're in a game, you're challenging somebody, as opposed to, you know, staring slack-jawed at someone dancing on a stage. I mean, to me, the gambling makes more sense than the dancing part, but I'm sure other people would totally disagree. They're like, no way, naked people are way better than flipping cards over in a smoky room.
Right, okay, so for me, gambling is very hard for me to understand spending that amount of money because I would feel terrible losing. There would be such a bad feeling from losing.
Oh yeah, you definitely can't gamble.
And then I couldn't spend that kind of money. Like I said, $50. if I lose it, I lose it, and it's done. What I think is that there are two things. I feel like you might as well just go and set your money on fire, like just burn it. And then also with the dancing, I think that there is potentially, if you're spending $10,000 a year or more on going to strip clubs, the chances are you're not just going and throwing dollars on the stage.
They've marked
you're
you as getting, a sucker.
They're getting
attention.
You're getting attention, and you're getting private personal attention. Okay. And I think for some people, if I'm being empathetic, at least they're getting some kind of connection. Whether it's real or not, they're getting some kind of connection.
Spoiler alert, it is not real.
It is, well, okay. Right. But to them it is.
No,
and see, that's where we get into this sort of putting yourself in someone else's shoes. If that is something that's giving you joy, then I can't feel too judgmental about the fact that you're spending money that way. You're doing it with open eyes. Now, if they are drugging you and taking your money and all of that, that's a totally different story.
Right.
But if it's just, you know, they're going, they're doing a dance for you.
You have some human connection for a few minutes.
You know, I understand that urge to have connection with another human being. And so I think that's why I would tip that way versus the other way.
You know, it would be cheaper if they had a fairly decent therapist and they saw them once a week.
Maybe,
it would be a lot cheaper.
Maybe,
but no,
but,
I understand.
You know, they get out, it's social.
Sad, but empathetic, but social.
But I mean, it is social. It is social. You know, they're sitting around. Chances they may have. Do you talk with like? When you've gone into a strip club, do you go by yourself or do you go with others?
First of all, I would never go by myself, even though I would be probably more comfortable by myself. Uh-huh.
So you've only ever gone with men. You've never gone with a woman to
a
strip club.
Never have. So I just find that I would find that to be very awkward. It's like, am I supposed to look, but don't look too much? You know, should I just look at them like through my peripheral vision? Should I construct a cardboard box with a pinhole in it? You know, I mean, what's the safe play here? So that's just not my thing.
Okay, let's bring this back out to like the boundaries slipping between somebody in the service industry like this. So like we can even talk about TikTok. I'm just realizing something.
Oh, a revelation. Right here on our podcast.
I would be comfortable talking now. Certainly, I'm comfortable talking about celebrities or people who, let's use TikTok as an example. There's a creator called The Cold Brew, and I think he is very attractive. And I am happy to, like I've tweeted a couple of his TikToks when I was still on TikTok. I was happy to do that. I would go into lives where he was talking. I didn't send gifts.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want them to notice me.
Okay. I just want to observe from afar.
I just like to look at them from afar. So this is what's interesting because you said, well, this might allow, when you were talking about going to a strip club, is that it might allow the woman in the couple or whoever to flirt a little bit with the women and have that safe space to do that. I wouldn't do that because I find that to be disingenuous. It's not true to who I am.
Right.
And I wouldn't flirt again, like even when it has nothing to do with, you know, like homosexuality, it's to do with understanding boundaries between people I don't know. I wouldn't flirt with a guy at a strip, like a male dance review.
Right.
I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. It would mortify me to have a guy dancing on me and that.
You would die.
I would die. I would.
I know
well,
you would.
Know me
you would
well
kill
enough.
Over and
I,
die.
I absolutely would. It would be so embarrassing. I don't even like, I get uncomfortable because now you've tipped this band so much that they'll come over and sit and talk to us.
Oh, you don't like that?
He's a very nice guy, but I feel.
I love that.
I know you love that.
Because he's a nice guy.
He
right?
is a nice guy, but you also enjoy the fact that he learned a song for you. And that, I mean, you enjoyed that part of it.
Sure.
He knows who you are. You said to me, oh, Bobby sent me a note to let me know that they're playing. Why did Bobby send you a note to let you?
Because Bobby is awesome.
No, because Bobby knows that you're going to come and tip.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's it too. But I mean, he also, I think. He genuinely likes me.
Yeah, see, everyone.
Oh my God, Bobby's a stripper.
Bobby and Mark has a parasocial relationship with Bobby.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby is talking to you and he shakes your hand and stuff like that,
right.
You know, but I would die if that was me. I wouldn't,
really?
In the past you've said, here, go put this money in and I won't even be seen doing it. Like I believe in tipping, but
can I just like anonymously cash app him or something?
Yeah. That would be much more comfortable for me because I don't want any attention being on me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, on those few times that I've actually gone to a strip club, mm-hmm. I'm not interacting with the women in any, like, I'm not looking to have a long conversation with them. I don't get lap dances, mm-hmm. right? I don't do that. Just because it's awkward because you're in front of 1,000 people and it's quasi-sexual.
Yeah.
That's just a boundary.
Well, it's not quasi-sexual.
It's not really, you're not really having sex with them and they're not enjoying it in that way in any way.
No, but they pretend to.
That's right.
The men that I know who have talked to me about going, I've asked that question.
Yeah, they think she's into it.
Erect? See, and they say 100% I do.
No, I never have.
But they've gotten lap dances. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In lap dances, yeah. They do.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, you know, how friction can you help alone.
It? Yeah, right. Yeah. So, let's get back to the Bobby and the Blisters. You actually...
Shout out to Bobby and the Blisters.
You have a form of a parasocial relationship now. Because I just looked at your face, and when you were talking about it, you turned bright red.
I was like, oh my God, he's hustling me.
Is he red again? Mark is just having a revelation, everyone. But
Bobby, how could you? But you know what? I'm okay with that because, first of all, I don't really ask that much from them, right? Just play cool music and, you know.
And they interact with Mark when they're on stage, they are interacting with Mark.
So we've talked about, you know, what you get from these gig economy interactions. Mm-hmm. When people talk about the gig economy, I'm talking about the ones that are primarily tip driven, mm-hmm. not like Uber, although you should tip your Uber drivers, people, come on, mm-hmm. you know, because they get paid shit too. And maybe that's a flaw in the way the U.S. economy is structured, mm-hmm. that these guys have to rely on tips, but they do. So, you know, you can afford the $5, you know, tip them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really talking about is, like, you know, the kind where it's 100% optional whether you consume that entertainment or not. Whether you could sit at a bar and enjoy their music for free the whole night. And that's part of the deal, right? Because the bar really has them there to bring people in and hang out and drink more.
Right. Right.
That's why they're there.
Right.
Not just because they like to jam out. But, you know, you can just sit there and not participate in that economy. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of cases, you know, you do, right? You're like, I appreciate that, whatever. And it's the same in a sense. Well, it's definitely that in strip clubs. Like, you, sometimes they'll have a cover charge and, you know, a 2-drink minimum or whatever, but you can spend $0 after that if you want. But what the women are there for, or the men in a different case, is to get you to tip them for their performances. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you're not really participating in that economy, but that's what they're there for. They're not there just to, you know, entertain you because you paid $20 at the door. They're there to get tips from you, and you have to decide whether that's worth it or not.
Well, and you could do the 2-drink minimum and whatever, and then just enjoy the show
for free. Yeah.
They're not going to pay attention to you. And so what I would argue is that what you're really paying for there, obviously you want to see nudity, but you're also paying, if you're tipping, you're paying for attention. You're paying
closer nudity and also eye contact.
And eye contact
and
or like
verbal exchanges.
And I think also there is some status in throwing out just money.
Oh yeah, sure. This is nothing to me. Look, did you see that? Like you kind of like hold up enough of the bill so they can see the denomination, you know, whatever.
Right. So there's status stuff that's happening
to make
too,
it rain.
To, yeah. Right. Okay. And that gets you much more attention from the performers. And that's, what it is.
And the bros like, wow. You drop some bands.
Yeah.
There,
yeah. Know, exactly. And then there are some that just sit there and watch them dance and they're benefiting.
Now, are those mostly serial killers?
Or cops?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm thinking of right now? The scene in Beverly Hills Cop where Axel takes the two stiff LA cops to the strip club.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, ding, 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 ding. Think I'm a sexy, you know, and whatever. And he's grooving. And all of a sudden he goes, see those two guys in the back? One with the long coats on? Pretty warm weather for long coats, isn't it? It's like, yeah. It's like, just stay cool. And, like, dances up to the guy as he's enjoying his stripper. But then, of course, you know, he foils a robbery.
Yeah. Because he's Axel. Ultimately, though, there is a lot of debate, and let's bring it to this as we're wrapping up. There's a lot of debate in the fandom that we have been observing for now since June.
You mean the Swifties?
No.
I wish.
So let's say there's a lot of debate about the money.
Yeah.
And does the creator deserve the money that he gets? Right. I mean, he makes a lot of money.
Well,
does he deserve it? And there's a lot of criticism that goes towards women who send him gifts and send him, not all the women who send him gifts, but there's, you know,
there's certain that
kind of have stuck out and they have become lightning rods, fairly or not. That's the case. I would argue that there are expectations put on some of these donations that maybe shouldn't be put on them, on him, but you know, that's the economy that he's in. That's what he's got to navigate, right? It's up to him to set those boundaries. And he may, you know, so, but we've seen a lot of women get judged for spending money on him.
Right.
And we have,
I think I've been pretty consistent in saying, look, that is spending your entertainment dollars, just like if you were tipping a busker or a dancer at a club or the local band or your waitress who did a great job, whatever it is, you know, you are spending entertainment dollars. And if that is entertaining for you and it's worth it, mazel tov, right? That's fine. You're right, though, when it starts to get into that area where they see it as more transactional than that. And it is transactional, right? You get entertainment and some level of engagement from the entertainer, and then you give them money. And if you give them more money, you'll probably get more of that.
Right.
That's understandable.
And if you don't give them money, if you stop giving them money, in some cases, in fact, just today, one of his hangers-on, I read a tweet where a woman said, yes, I used to gift him.
Yeah.
Then I stopped. And he unfollowed me.
Well,
when I gifted him, he followed me. Then when I stopped gifting him, he unfollowed.
Congratulations, you've discovered capitalism.
right.
That's his look. And you, it's, in my opinion, it's tough to judge them unless they're, it's like outright fraud, right? If you do this, I will fly to your hometown, right? And then they don't.
And then they don't.
That's not what we're talking about, though. There's no written contract, but you understand that if you give them money, you will get some of that attention and that light will shine on you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is legitimate. I mean, if that is has worth to you, then I've always said it's totally okay with me. Not that anybody's looking for my approval, but it's okay with me if these creators do things that generates income because this is their job.
That's their job. That's
I mean, at your job. Yeah, at your job, you want to have people, you know, you want to have stores buy more stone fruit, right?
Correct.
And you're going to come up with all kinds of ways to market your stone fruit, and you're not tricking them into anything, probably.
Mm-mm.
You seem pretty legit from a fruit standpoint. But, you know, you're not tricking them, but you are marketing to them. You're trying to encourage them to buy more.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going, oh, you know what? You guys, I feel like you've bought enough stone fruit from us this year. I want you to save your money, right? No, cut back.
Really?
No, you're like, you don't want to double down. I mean, those apricots are pretty sexy.
How can we build incremental sales for you? And
exactly.
we help them do that because incremental sales for them are incremental sales for us.
100%. So nobody's doing this out of the goodness of their heart, except for, of course, you and me. But that's all changing.
That's changing now with this episode.
That's right. So, but I think both of us have always been supportive of his right as a content creator to generate income.
Yes.
And the question is he getting paid too much? I don't think that that's very relevant.
Okay, why do you not think it's relevant?
Because it's what the market will bear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say, oh, well, NFL players don't deserve $20 million contracts. Mm-hmm. But they do because there's a demand for their services. There's a market for them, and the market has decided they're worth $20 million. Now, it could be that, you know, he's a bust after year one, and, you know, you're in a Bobby Bonilla situation where you're paying this guy until he's 85 years old, and you're paying him $1 million a year. Was he worth that money? I mean, you can judge that from a sports standpoint, but at the time, he was worth the money because they decided to pay it to him.
Yeah.
And that's the same with these content creators. If Charlie D'Amelio makes $40 million for doing dances on TikTok, that's because a lot of people want to see her do those dances,
right?
And a lot of companies think that they're getting benefits from associating with her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the justification. It's an economic justification. I mean, you can have some moral outrage if you want, I guess, over whether someone who does, you know, TikTok dances should be that rich. But the economy says yes, they should.
Well, some people have shared with me that they feel that women are being taken advantage of, and because some of the women, not all of the women, a few of the women have come through some sad things, and they're using this as an emotional crutch or whatever. Not all of the women, some of the women. And they feel, and so some people say, well, I feel like, you know, they're being taken advantage of. Okay. Then also some people have said his content isn't good. Well, I mean, that's subjective.
Then don't pay for it.
Then you don't pay for it, but other people are going to, you know, other people are going to feel differently about it because, and this is the thing that I think is hard, like, especially like for me with gambling. So like, I can't get the allure of it.
Right.
I understand that it happens. I can understand it intellectually. Yeah. I know that there are some people who get addicted to it.
Right. You understand the brain chemistry.
I understand all of that. I can't empathize fully because I can't get it. In the same way that people who will say, they will die on the hill that this creator's content is fire.
Yeah.
And I kind of go, it doesn't do it for me.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because I'm not the one paying him. They are. And so you have to, I think it's unfair that people are harsh on some of the women. Now, let's talk about the status thing.
All right, let's.
So do we draw, are there any lines that we draw where we say, you know, that's obviously about gaining status. It's not even really about the parasocial relationship with him, it's status, or let me answer that question first.
So status is also a legitimate use of your resources. Mm-hmm. If that is important to you, then you can spend money to get it. People do it all the time. People aren't driving Mercedes because they get great gas mileage, right? It's status.
Right.
People don't wear... Oh, what am I wearing? Oh, I'm only wearing a Banana Republic shirt. But like, they don't wear an Izod because that alligator gives them special powers, right? They do it for status. Mm-hmm. So to a certain extent, yes, that's totally fine. Now, of course, it can get extreme. Like if you see somebody who's walking around, with a big flashy watch that's totally iced out or whatever, you might go, okay, that's a bit much for me, right? That's a bit, you know, desperate or, you know, obvious or over the top. Or if they use their status then to belittle others, like, you know, oh, you know, that's not Balenciaga. By the way, I don't even know what Balenciaga is. I think it's a brand.
Bad fashion is what it is.
I don't know. I just heard it in a song.
Constantly appalled by what I see on the Balenciaga runways.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say
Well, I mean,
that.
Runways in general are pretty frightening. Like that one, you saw that one recently where like their heads were just sticking out of their collars like little like Humpty Dumpty eggs, right? Like, by the way, Humpty Dumpty,
never an egg.
You know, it can get too much. Mm-hmm. But that's a social interaction, right? There's no hard and fast rule. But yeah, if you're Donald Trump and you're, you know, taking pictures of your golden toilet, that's conspicuous consumption.
Conspicuous consumption.
And it's gross.
Yep. That's because you mentioned democracy and you sort of said this sort of democratizes earlier on in the podcast.
Entertainment.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But that kind of conspicuous consumption is against democracy.
It's a little tyrannical.
Right. It is against democracy. It actually kind of flies in the face of democracy.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I mean,
and that's where I think it gets, and that's where when you see status plays, and particularly I think in the fandom that we have been following, when you see the status plays, it depends on how it's handled.
Course.
And it, in some cases, I think that there is, remember when I was talking about mean girl shit is the best shit, when we were talking about mean girls, and I said women prefer at least the veneer of equality in their relationships, but when someone rises up too quickly and it becomes very noticeable, that's a lot of times where you're going to see
mean girl behavior clawed back down to earth.
It's not that they're jealous. It's just that it's upset the balance, you know. It's and it is. I mean, sometimes conspicuous consumption is off-putting. It is. Right. You kind of look at it and go, "What in the hell? Why are you doing? Why are you trying to be so extra?"
Well, and then they'll say in defense, like, "I'm just supporting him or whatever." I'm like, if that's the case, send your next donation anonymously.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see how that goes.
That has been something that, because a lot of the donations are tied to getting shouts out. And yeah. And where they absolutely know for a fact that it would be better for the creator if they would send a PayPal, they are still spending $500 or $600 per gift.
Yeah, well,
to send him a visible gift on TikTok, particularly during Battle Week.
If it's worth it to you to have hear somebody say your name that you put on a pedestal,
right?
Okay.
And that's
now we can judge, people always say, oh, well, I don't judge them. Yes, you do.
And we judge everybody.
You judge everything all the time, and you can go personally. That seems silly, but it doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them necessarily wrong. It's just something that you personally aren't into, right?
Correct.
Which is fine. Now, when you asked earlier about are they being taken advantage of, in general, I'll say no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's your own job to manage your finances.
Right.
So if he's out there saying, hey, send me a universe or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you don't have to do that, right? It's up to you. But I think it could cross the line, and I think when we talked about the dancer analogy,
yeah.
a lot of times when they do have a regular and they find out what his, you know, whatever his particular week's point is.
They exploit that.
They might exploit that, and it can get to the point where it is ethically wrong, right? You know he's struggling to pay his bills, but you also know that he has this weakness, and you're using that against him.
Right.
Right? So, or her.
I mean,
you know, let's be fair. But I mean, on TikTok, there's really not that level.
There's not that much
that granular level. Yeah. So what you're paying for, just realize, is a parasocial connection, not an actual connection.
Right.
If you're aware of that and you're fine with that, okay.
Now, with some of his fans, he does have a personal connection.
Yeah,
he's DMing them. Right. And so there are fans that do have that more personal connection. So you mean that I can't speak to because I don't speak to none of those people would really talk to me, I'm sure. Right. But anyway, I guess I fall down on it, and I've talked to a lot of people on both sides of this fandom, and my position on this has been consistent and the same as yours, which is it's his job, it's what he's doing for a living. He's got to earn his money when he can. The clock is probably ticking.
100%. And that's something we've talked about before too, is that the fame of an online personality is often very fleeting.
Yes.
You have one chance when you blow up on that one video to convert that into capital gain for you. Now, if that's your thing. Some people are like, oh, I blew up. It's funny. Whatever. High five.
All right. So now one of the great examples of that is Kim Kardashian, her sex tape, right? Yeah. Now she's not she is an influencer. I mean, but like influencer and the whole family is. But
right.
there was that moment in time that could have been horrible for her.
Yeah.
And her mother, who was a fucking marketing genius.
And probably a Nazi.
Chris stepped in and said, I can work with this.
Yeah, we're going to, that's, we, you
know, let's turn this
no
into
news
something.
Is, no, no publicity, publicity is bad publicity.
And she took that and the Kardashians and Kardashian Jenners are where they are today because of that. And there are a lot of people that kind of look down their nose at that
I do. But 100% do.
But the thing is that you cannot deny that that was not a brilliant financial
exploitation of our sick culture.
Well, but I mean, look at that. Is what our it is to a
celebrity
certain
worship.
It is. Yeah. There is celebrity worship, and also because celebrity now is with really looking back at Andy Warhol saying everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame. That's even more true today than ever. It is so.
I think it's down to 11 and a half minutes. Just so you know.
But okay, so you have there is that access to it. Now anybody can make a video that's probably 10 times more sophisticated than the videos we watched back in the 80s.
Absolutely.
Right on their phones.
Yeah. And while it's a long, long shot, so people do not pin your future on, you know, going viral, right?
Right.
That's not a job.
No.
It can be a job, but it's like buying a lottery ticket.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, then people with, you know, very humble content creators can, not will, but can blow up. Now, you're competing against real celebrities, quote unquote, real celebrities that have way more advantages. They have a built-in fan base.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to win 99% of the time. But yes, it is possible. And there, like I said, it's this democratization of entertainment for these little independent outlet things to blow up and to, or even sometimes not even just blow up, just provide them with a living, right? Yeah. You can make a living doing this, allegedly.
Right. Not us.
Yeah.
No. we aren't able to make a living doing this, and that's okay because it's just a hobby podcast.
Yeah.
That we are now offering special content for, which was this, our Patreon episode.
That's right. Congratulations. Now you are a part of a parasocial relationship with us that you will not be able to extricate yourself from.
We're very grateful for you to come and listen to us each week and support us on our Patreon. If you are doing that, thank you very much.
And this is a big experimental. So if there are things that you would like to hear, you know, what kind of content you would like, you know, we're open to almost anything.
Well, honestly, here's where you could come in. If you hear us talking about a subject, if one of our episodes...
On the freebie podcast.
Because one of the things that we hear a lot of on the feedback is that people want to engage in the conversation with us. Well, we can't have everybody come on as a guest as much as we would like to do that. It's from sound quality perspective, it's difficult. But what we would love is if you would share with us the things that you wanted to talk back to us about.
Right, like that one time Mark said that thing and that's really wrong and I need to tell him why.
And just,
do it.
Just let us know, and we can dig deeper into that particular subject. We can include your thoughts into it if we can't have you on as a guest. But if that's something that's of interest to you, let us know. All right. So what we have coming up, we're going to do some video Thunderdomes. I've got a couple of really good video versus video topics. So those are going to be coming up. We're going to get more of those loaded in. And then we are going to just continue to hunt around for good ideas and threads that we maybe weren't able to fully pull in regular episodes. And we'll look forward to having some feedback from you.
So these people have spent a small fortune to listen to this episode.
Uh-huh.
How can they contact us to further engage in our exciting dynamic?
Well, we have a Facebook group, Mark, Gen Extemporaneous. You can just plug that in and you'll find us. Please join us there.
But Mark was not part of the name of the group. That was comma Mark, comma Gen Extemporaneous.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have I have a personal Twitter at Serious Produce. Mark has at Mark Eats Peach. And we have at Extemporaneous 2, which is our podcast Twitter. So that's where we go live, and we're going to be doing lives pretty much every week. We're going to try to do a Wednesday night live where we talk about the previous week's episode.
And that's really, I think, if you have that feeling like, oh, I really wanted to be a part of that conversation and Mark and Christina rudely excluded me from it by doing a podcast about it, that's a good chance for people to come in and participate. And don't be shy, even though you are.
Yeah.
Not shy.
Don't be me.
Exactly. Come in. We'd love to have, you know, a discussion about, you know, the episode that we had just done, what we got wrong, what we got right. Share your feelings.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode, Mark.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Bye.